الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى مع بعض. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أقم الصلاة لذكري. Allah سبحانه وتعالى in His holy book, He mentions and He exhorts the mu'mineen to establish prayer for a specific purpose. And that purpose is nothing other than the remembrance of Allah سبحانه وتعالى عز وجل. So there's an activity and there's a purpose behind that activity. The purpose behind the activity that we call prayer is the establishing the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal in our lives. Right? That's actually central. It's a central concept that needs to be very well understood. And prayer as such occupies a certain centrality within the religion that is non-parallel. In fact, it is the first thing that a person will be asked about on the day of Qiyamah. And whosoever his questioning in terms of if his salah goes well, then his other deeds will also go well. And if his salah goes well, then that does not necessarily bode well for that individual on the day of Qiyamah. It's similar, for example, just to help us understand, between two students. One student was very bright, and the other student was not very bright, but he's very hardworking. The student who was very bright, not necessarily very hard working, when he came to first day to class, he was insolent with the teacher, he was arrogant, he says, I'll ace it, he was, you know, talked back to the teacher, right? And he might even turn in his homework on time, so on and so forth, but the teacher will not give much attention to that student, right? The teacher doesn't feel a connection to that student, and so even when he has to grade his paper, the teacher sometimes makes sure that if he can find any mistake in the paper, he'll make sure to find it and make sure to take him to task for that, right? Especially, for example, if you're writing an English paper, right, and you're not in your good books of your, you know, English professor, then she says, oh, that's a dangling participle, and you know, you fail to exercise parallel structure in this particular paragraph. And you know, they'll take you to task for something which is otherwise pretty minuscule or minute. Whereas in the one who's hardworking, who's humble, the teacher sees they're putting a lot of effort, they're not so great of a student, right? But in every paper that the student submits, you know, it comes through in the paper that they've been really making a good, you know, a good honest effort, then even the teacher has raham, right? They say sometimes even they're like getting a, they're on, right, you know, they got a C, but it was a really high C. They say, man, just give him a B, right? They push him up, right? They push him up. So in the same way, a person, if you bring a salah that's proper on the day of Qiyamah, right, then all the other things, cards, so to speak, fall into place. If you mess up in your salah, right, you can bring, you know, a 48-page paper, and you bring this, and you bring that. But then, you know, if a person is really taken, man husiba, right, or nuqisha, faqad halak, whoever is taken really to task, and really asks about every single thing on the day of Qiyamah, that person is going to be destroyed. I mean, who, this is a day of crushing questions, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just has to ask a person once, that why did you disobey me on this particular day, and that's enough to crush an individual. It's enough to crush an individual. And we know from hadith that a person will pray prayer and he will only get half the reward, or one-third the reward, or one-fourth the reward, one-fifth the reward, one-sixth, so even as one-tenth, and it can be even less than that. Right? It can be even less than that. And so that shows that just praying is not enough. Right? One has to pray properly. Right? Just praying is not enough. A person has to pray properly. Towards the end of times, right, it has been foretold that you might have an entire masjid that's full, right? You might have Eid Salah that we teach that there was 8,000, 10,000, 18,000 people in one jamaat. But there's not a single person with khushu. Not a single person. 18,000 people, 100,000 people jamaat, but not one person in the entire jamaat with khushu, right? With focus, concentration, prayer. It's a sign towards the end of times. It's something that we actually really need to take seriously. We need to really take seriously. So prayer is actually a journey. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. One thing that, well, I should get to that. Understand that there's different levels to prayer. Right? And so if you want to think about this in very broad terms, you can sort of categorize it in four phases. First phase is that there are people who are struggling to make it to pray five times a day. Right? If they make it five times a day, that's an accomplishment for them. That's one phase. The second phase is a person who's praying five times a day, but then they have to perfect the outward aspects of their salah. Right? Are they looking where they should be looking? Or do they have ta'dilul arkan? For example, when they move in every different posture, so many times you go to a masjid, and many times you'll see people doing things in the prayer which would necessarily invalidate the prayer or nullify the prayer as such. Right? But they don't even realize that they're basically putting the time to pray, but the prayer doesn't even count because they've made some what we call fatal flaws within the prayer. So then the next level comes in terms of the exoteric law, in terms of fiqh. Does one conform and does one follow all the rules and regulations as applied to salahs? One doing all the fard and wajibat, not delaying a wajib, so on and so forth. Many of us don't even know what is fard in salah and what is wajib in sunnah. We've just been praying as we sort of knew, but we never really checked it up. So a person should check it up, because ignorance is not an excuse. In this matter, ignorance is not an excuse. You have to know, right? You actually have to sit and study. If a person can find time to study, algebra or calculus or computer programming, then they can't find time to study what is fard and what is wajib in salah. You can't make that much time. It's not going to take more than one evening. Right? It might take more than one evening to memorize it, but it won't take you more than one or two evenings to actually study it. Right? One weekend. And then one will know that. And then comes this third phase, and that third phase is when a person is actually striving to actually perfect their salah in an inner sense. Right? Internally rectify their salah so that they have a certain amount of focus, attention, humility, awe, fear, respect, reverence in their prayer. Khushu and khudu, these things, they're not there yet, per se, but they're actively trying to make every prayer of theirs perfect. That's the third phase. And later on, there's higher phases. The highest being that أَنْتَ عَبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّهَ تَرَاهُ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That you worship as if you are seeing Allah, and if you're not seeing Allah, then He is indeed seeing you. As it comes in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. So, and understand that this is, the wording of the hadith is very specific, right? Some people think that they pray as if Allah is watching them. That is not the highest level of prayer, right? That is a high level of prayer if you actually feel that Allah is watching me, right? It is a high level of prayer that you actually feel the presence of Allah, the gaze of the nazar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, encompassing one individual, focus on an individual. It really, takes one into his zone, but that's not the epitome of salah itself. The epitome of salah actually arises when one is praying as if they are watching Allah, right? That you're literally standing in the presence of Allah, that you're conversing with Allah. And it becomes a very real conversation. And we're the ones who put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ivory tower. But that's not real. That's not the reality. That's actually the beauty of Islam, was that there is no ivory tower. And when Rasulullah went and had this miraculous journey of Mi'raj, and he came back and he brought a gift, right? Not a punishment, he brought a gift. People sometimes say, oh man, I gotta pray, right? They treat it as if it's a burden. Salah was never meant to be a burden. It's meant to be a gift. Because what the things that Rasulullah experienced on Mi'raj, right? That heavenly ascension, subhanAllah, this only could be Nabi al-Rahmah who would care this much for his ummah. He didn't want to come back. He experienced it himself. He got, he was so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jalla, the whole story of Mi'raj, but he did not covet that only for himself. He wanted it for his entire ummah. And so when he came back, he said that he brought back what? He brought back salah. Right? He brought back salah. And that's why it's as-salatu mi'rajul mu'min, that salah or prayer is the mi'raj. It is the heavenly ascension of the mu'min. If you actually pray properly, it will radically transform a person's existence. Radically transform a person's existence. There are things to be seen, places to go, things to discover, pleasures to experience, things which are, unspoken. Right? And it's just, one pleasure and one ecstasy after one ecstasy after one ecstasy. That's why, you see like Aisha radiallahu anha going into two rakat salah, and then she gets up, she gets out of her two rakat, and it's Fajr time, and she says, Ya Allah, you made the night so short. Right? What was going on there? Right? There was something going on. They didn't see it as a burden, right? I mean, the closest analogy that comes to mind is, you know, sometimes if you were watching like a really good movie, right? A really good movie, sometimes you can run for 2-3 hours and you just don't want it to end, right? You just don't want it to end. And, you know, when it ends, you're like, wow, oh my God, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I gotta work tomorrow, right? And you don't even know where the time went. That's really the reality of when one really gets into their salah. They enjoy it the way that a person would enjoy a movie, or they would enjoy ice cream, or they would enjoy, you know, anything that they really, you know, covet in life. Nay, even more so, actually. So this week I just wanted to spend, you know, a little bit of time highlighting some big broad principles that we can try to institute in our own lives that will help us focus in our salah. Right, because really this is at the center of our ibadah, right? And if it's the center of our ibadah, we exist for ibadah, so it's at the center of our existence. So principle number one, actually before we go I wanted to address, because you know, not everyone's even on level one, so if I start talking about level three things but you don't address level one, then that doesn't really, you know, make much sense. Because so not having focus in salah or not having attention in salah is not a reason to actually abandon the prayer. It's actually a reason to pray. Right? It's not like if you pray less, then automatically, miraculously, something will happen one day and you'll be able to pray. It's a matter of practice. You gotta work at it. And the more you pray, the easier it will become. And even if you pray with complete ghafla from beginning to end, the reward of it is separate, right? But a person will at least devolve the responsibility that rests on their shoulders that they had to pray. Right? At least they won't be taken to, inshallah, not to be taken to task for that. And that is really a very, very, very important thing. Because مَنْ تَرَكَ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ سَلَّمَ. Whoever leaves more than three, the literal words of the hadith are to the effect, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ, surely he has committed kufr. Straight. Right? And that's why there's one, you know, opinion in the Hanbali school of thought that actually says that a person who actually misses more than three salah, he has to take shahada again. Right? It's really serious. I mean, we take, you know, Ahnaf take in the Shawafi, so on and so forth, we take a different interpretation of the hadith, but that is the wording of the hadith, faqad kafir. And even if you take an interpretation, it's like you're committing an act that only a kafir would do. Like, you don't pray to your Lord. Right? It's like really serious. And similarly, you know, it is one of the things that will literally drive people into the hellfire, right? فِي جَنَّاتِ يَتَسَأَلُونَ. People in Jannah, they'll be sitting, right? The ulama will be sitting, the righteous people in the community will be sitting, and they're asking each other, anil mujrimeen, right? About those people who used to come to Jamaat sometimes, you know, you used to see them at the madrasa and stuff, but, you know, they sometimes would miss their fajr, sometimes they missed their isha, and no one knew about it, right? No one knew about it. Everyone thought they were the righteous people of the community. But anil mujrimeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them mujrims. They call them criminals. Right? You can't pull the wool over, quote unquote, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes. Allah knows everything. He sees everything. And what will they say? What will those people who are burning, they say, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرٍ. They'll ask those people in Jahannam, what has literally driven you into the fire? قَالُوا. The first thing they will say, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We are amongst those who did not used to pray. Miss a prayer here, used to miss a prayer there. And you know, it's not that, you know, once you miss a prayer, you know, if you read the Kabair of Imam Zahabi, he doesn't list not praying as one of the Kabair. Because it's like almost unthinkable that a Muslim would not pray. He talks about delaying a prayer past the time that it should be prayed. And this is like in the top 10. Right, of the kabair, of the major sins that a person commit, delaying outside the ta'ina salat kana al mu'minina kitaban mawquta, that these prayer times are supposed to be prayed at set times. And so if a person, right, wantonly, intentionally delays it outside its time, I'm at work, I'm busy, I can't do this, so on and so forth, if a person had to use the bathroom no matter what they were doing, right, they would go to the bathroom. Even if you're in surgery, right, in some, you're doing surgery on your patient, if you have to use the bathroom, you have to use the bathroom, right? You excuse yourself for 2 or 3 minutes, use the bathroom, and come back and you continue with what you'd have to do, right? In the same, because that's necessary for once, no, a person doesn't want to soil themselves physically. Imagine the way a person soils themselves spiritually by not praying, right? It's actually all the more important, because once akhirah actually rests on that 80 years burning in the hellfire, It's not a small thing, right? It's not a small thing. So the first thing that a person should do is try to make sure that there's not a single day. They should just, from this day forward, they should make a thing that, I don't care, I mean, short of life and death circumstances, right? I'm going to make a firm resolve that I'm not going to miss one single prayer in my life. And it's doable. I have known people who have not used, who was to be literally memorizing the Quran, but were so negligent of their prayer that they would not even pray, right? And they had to make up years, I mean, they had to make so, like, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of prayers, right? But one by one, they actually made up prayers, alhamdulillah, until they actually achieved the status of sahib tartib, which means that when a person has so many prayers, comes into their life where they have less than five prayers due on them in their entire life, there's different rulings in fiqh that actually apply to such an individual. When a person can be so ghafil that he literally doesn't pray, the jamaat will be going on and maybe they will not pray. Right? And they get from that state to one day where they have less, when I say less than five prayers, meaning they have no prayers outstanding, right? Meaning that person, if he misses one prayer, he's not allowed to pray the next prayer until he actually makes qada of that prayer before it. Right? Person can become sahib tartib. It's not unthinkable, and it's happened, right? And it happens. I'll give you one example of my own teacher. I mean, he, alhamdulillah, a very righteous individual, he always used to pray. When he was doing his alim course, he came upon one mas'ala, right? One particular ruling that created some type of shak in his mind, right? Some type of doubt in his mind that, you know, maybe my prayer counted or didn't count. So he went back, and he made up 15 years of salah. 15 years of salah. Based on what? Just on this one doubt, right? On this one doubt. And that wasn't even something that he knew, that he had prayed those prayers already. But he said, what if it's not accepted? He went back and made up 15 years of salah, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised people with taqwa like that to the level that He raises them. So a person should make firm resolve that they will never miss a single prayer again in their life. I mean, there's people who are medical students, people who have, you know, they might be delivering babies and so on. When there is a will, there is a way, right? When there is a will, there is a way, you will find time. And do not be worried about what people will think, how I will look funny, what will people say when I pray. It is much better that people laugh at you on this day, and on the day of Qiyamah, you will be laughing at them. Right? It actually should be the opposite. Right? It should be the opposite. You're like, you're not praying to Allah. You should be doing tanqid on them. You should be looking at them in a bad light. Not then they be looking at you on the bad light. But it's literally in the Quran. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. And on this day, those people who have iman on the kufar, they'll be laughing at them. You know what they say in English? They say, he who laughs last, laughs best. Right? You want to have the last laugh? Right? Don't miss a single prayer. It's not worth it. These people who are, it's actually so sometimes, you know, counterintuitive, because these people who don't like you, people who don't care about you, people who are literally laughing at you, to make them happy, so to make someone who doesn't like you happy, you're basically digging yourself in the ground. Right? You're ruining your own life for someone who doesn't care about you. Much better that you take care of yourself and let them see it. I mean, they'll have to answer for themselves on the day of Qiyamah. So, the big take-home message, actually. So there's actually about 11. So that was for level number one. A person should actually make sure that they don't miss it from this day forward, right? This day forward, not a single prayer. And a person says, okay, how do I do it? I haven't prayed my prayers at all. You know, I've been missing so many prayers. How do I bring it into my life? I'll give you four steps, and these four steps you can apply to almost anything in your life that you want to bring in terms of deen. First, it starts with intention. Right? إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَةِ. So make a firm intention in your mind that I'm going to do this. That all starts with there. Number two, effort. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُنَا. There has to be some mujahada, right? You can't just not do anything and just say, I had an intention. Because that actually speaks to the insincerity of that intention that was made. So you have to make some type of effort. Right? And then after you actually make effort, number three, you have to make dua. Because tawfiq, as Shu'aib alayhi salam said, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My tawfiq is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. So you have to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the tawfiq, give me istiqama, let me stay on this. And you apply these three things to anything. You apply it to your muraqabah, you apply it to your dhikr, apply it to the sunnahs that you're trying to bring in your life. Intention, effort, dua. And then the fourth thing that I'll add to that is tawbah, because inevitably خلق الإنسان ضعيفة, that man is created as something which is weak. Right? You are going to, people inevitably fail. People inevitably slip. So that's why Allah has given us this magic eraser called tawbah that helps us pick ourselves up and get back on the horse. A person cannot mess up enough that it will take him outside the mercy of Allah. There's not a single person who is listening to this, and there's not a single person who is not listening to this today, who could ever sin, and not only in one life, but in 100 lives, that could outstrip the mercy of Allah. It's impossible. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسْيَعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And my rahmah, it encompasses everything. Right? It encompasses everything. So understand that even if you end up missing a prayer, you know, you're not able to be as consistent as one wants to be, then you just basically take a step back and say, Astaghfirullah, and I'm going to try, and you just try the next day. Next day is a new day. So that was the first two stages. That was the first stage. Stage number two was in terms of knowing the external rulings. You know, so a person can read, for example, you know, everyday fiqh or ta'alimul, actually, you know, a person can read ta'alimul haqq or ta'alimul islam. Ta'alimul haqq should actually have many of the rulings or any basic primer of whatever fiqh that a person may follow, whether it's Shafi fiqh or Hanafi fiqh. But read one basic primer, you can know as many, and if you can't find an appropriate manual, you can ask your local imam, you can email us at Pureway. But then find something, a text, and just read through it. Spend one weekend and say, I just want to make sure my salah is intact. This inshallah won't take more than a weekend. So that's stage number two. Stage number three, there's 11 principles, right? And so we actually began a little bit late this week. We had some AV issues. So maybe we'll just hold that off till next week, inshallah, on how to actually bring khushu and khudu in our salah. Right? Like 11 principles that we can actually apply in a practical sense to really elevate and transform our prayer. So inshallah we'll actually discuss that next time. We have about, you know, maybe just 10 minutes till Maghrib's time sets in over here in St. Louis. So we'll spend a little bit, short period of time inshallah in dhikr, and then we'll break for the Maghrib Salah.